Dr. Florentia Belvedere, State Reform Program at PARI. Florentia, very good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning and thank you for having me, Asika.
This national implementation framework towards professionalization of the public service, it's a draft at the moment. It was discussed by Cabinet in November last year, and structured consultation with various sectors of society are currently underway. How will it help deliver on the objective of, I suppose, providing South Africans with a professionalized service that is free of any political influence?
Well, it has a number of proposals in it. Indeed, it is a draft. It is labeled as a national implementation framework. So one expects, you know, kind of much more detail about what are the key steps to be taken. There's a number of proposals that include issues around changes to practices of recruitment in the public service to take away some of the political interference and new political interference. There's attempts at linking professionalization to professional bodies or organizations. Like if I am an attorney, I need to register with the legal practice councils, and there's a series of standards that are attached to that. And there's also this idea of ongoing constant learning. And I think there is some, one of the things that it also talks about, or at least mentions broadly, is the emphasis on some consequence management, particularly in terms of the amendment to the Audit Act that gives more powers of rectification or remedial action that can be taken. So there's a number. We made comments as PARI on the framework, and there's certainly a lot to be welcomed, right? We've got, indeed, at least the commitments, the next steps towards giving effect to what is in the National Development Plan, and exactly giving credence or starting to put some of the meat on the bones on an aspiration. Yeah, that we want a public service that does serve the people over and above everybody else. So it does. It starts to get there, but we think it doesn't quite go far enough yet.
What you've seen in South Africa many times is a rather thin veil between the political principle of a Ministry of X, for example, and the Director General, and that person often is the accounting principal for that department. We've certainly seen a habit of Director Generals moving with the Minister, as opposed to someone being appointed as a Director General to a department because of their expertise and competence and staying there. Regardless of who the political principal is in the ministry.
Yes, that is exactly it. I mean, that issue is, it is recognized in the framework, right? That there needs to be, for one, there needs to be more stability for your heads of department, your DGs, yeah? And there also is this mention about appointing what is called a head of the public service, to whom your heads of department would report and would be dealing with administrative issues of the heads of department. And they would be much more responsible for hiring, their director generals, as opposed to having such political influence from ministers to do that. But there would be a degree of separation by having a new figure called the head of the public service. But we don't. The problem is that the framework at present doesn't give us much detail on how to take those aspects forward, which we have done as PARI. So we do keep talking about the importance of having processes that provide some degree of check and balance, and including the role of like the Public Service Commission. And when we appoint some, not only appoint in that process, before the appointment is done by a political figure, which usually is, that you have a much more, checked process, so that you've got experts, substance experts, technical experts that would sit in a selection committee and that it's not just hand-picking individuals. So that one can put some kind of controls, let's say, to ensure that there isn't this degree also of political interference that we see that has been so prevalent. So I think, you know, we wholeheartedly accept or welcome this idea of having this framework, but we need to be thinking about how we're going to go forward. One of our main concerns is that it's meant to provide us with a kind of short, medium, and long-term plan of the things that are going to be done, but there really isn't a lot of detail. So it is a bit of a concern that this could become, and the process of consultations happen, which is great, but really don't know how this is going to move forward. And we hope that it does, that it doesn't, you know, the NDP, I think it was 12 years ago, many years ago that came out. We need to make sure that this doesn't suffer that same fate. That
no, indeed.
You know? And another aspect that I think we need to reinforce in this framework is that as much as we professionalize, I can train you, I can give you all the support you need, but if you carry out what you're expected to do, there should be consequences. And the consequences should be beyond what the Audit Act now talks about, or, you know, any pressure that a professional organization might put on you. There needs to be, we need to bring credibility into this, the professionalization. And so there also needs to be, I think, more expedited, not in the bad sense, but we need to make sure that consequence management, that management for one, and consequences resulting from bad management are also part and seen as part of the professionalization, so that people can actually see by example what will happen. Right? And that is also a piece of the puzzle that is not really emphasized in the framework. And we've got to see it as, you know, we got to give people carrots, but also some stick, you know, so that we indeed give credence to the system.
No, indeed. Do we have examples of this within the South African public service? Are there units, departments? I mean, many would argue SARS, for example, in its former glory, yeah, was an excellent example of just how an efficiently run, adequately sort of capacitated unit can actually, yeah, be efficient in its delivery of service to the people of South Africa. And back at the time, one would argue it was free of political influence. And then, of course, we saw at the Zuma years how, yes, the administration then used SARS as a tool to obviously try and, rob the people of South Africa of their money. But are there currently any departments or units that you know of within government that we can say, look there, there's a shining example of how ultimately all of government can be?
Yeah, it's actually, you know, the one place I was also thinking about is the Department of Home Affairs. You remember that there was a process of turnaround that happened many years ago. Remember, there were massive improvements in terms of how different services were provided to people. And that, I think those examples, and SARS as well, what they also point to, I mean, is that it's not only professionalizing and, you know, enhancing the skills and abilities and capabilities of people, but it's also about putting different systems in place and working much more efficiently, you know, using technology, using being innovative in how managers manage. So there's that aspect which really is not explored in the framework. You know, a lot of emphasis is on, I mean, we've got to keep in mind that large part of this framework has been, I think, put together by the National School of Government, which has a brief to provide training to make sure that people are capacitated. You know, there's pre-entry exams being instituted, and they have been. But there isn't, you know, an emphasis on the broader picture, that you need rules, you need, you know, standard operating procedures, you need, you know, very practical also operations management and day in and day out, you know, everyday management. And that aspect, which I think was critical for SARS, that was critical for Home Affairs, and the moments when that turnaround process, I think, was in its at its height. I think some aspects have been retained, some aspects haven't. Also included, not only training people, but also very, very critical systems to facilitate that management and that keeping oversight and keeping an eye on what is happening in a much more regular basis rather than your, you know, your performance management that might happen once a quarter.
Mm.
So, you know, off the top of my head, if I think about efficient, you know, what is running like a, you know, like a clock, it's hard to put my finger on it at the moment. And I think part of it is also because one key piece of this puzzle that should be changed is the process of how we recruit, select, and appoint. And that process is still the same. We still have quite a bit of political interference, which also, you know, we start in a way on the wrong foot because we're putting people, exactly what the president says in his letter, right? We're putting people in places that might not necessarily be the best people for the job. And so that is affecting the entire public service at the moment.
It is indeed. Dr. Florencia Belvedere, thank you very much for your time. She heads up the State Reform Program at PARI, and PARI is a public affairs research institute. Let's hope that the draft national implementation framework towards professionalization of the public service, by the time it is finalized, it will obviously address some of the concerns that were highlighted.